بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. As we mentioned that today after Salah, we will do the practical demonstration of Salah. In regards to Salah itself, it's one of the greatest commandments of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala after Iman. Kalima namaz, kalima yaqeen, Iman to come into the heart, and for Salah to be perfected, not to perform Salah. In Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala gives the command, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Everywhere you find أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ, you will not find صَلُّ, the perform namaz. But Allah Ta'ala demands أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ, أَقَامَ يُقِيمُ الْإِقَامَةُ, means to establish. So the command from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is to establish salah, not just to perform salah. Establishment of Salah, Mufassirin, commentators of Quran explain. This word, Aqama Yuqimu, Aqimi Salah, what does it mean? To establish Salah, it means to perform Salah with all the prerequisites and the requisites. Prerequisites, wudu before that, Taharat. Taharat has to be 100% correct. Whether it be istinja, going to the toilet, relieving yourself, how to wash, calling to Sunnah, du'as before that. The istinja is correct. How many a young boy, whether he knows how to make istinja properly? Many of us know when we were young, father taught us, mother taught us how to relieve, how to wash, how to make sure you are clean, make istibara thereafter to ensure that the drops of urine leave your private part, which is wajib also. Then to make wudu, then wudu is correct. So whether the taharat, whether istinja is correct, going to the toilet, etiquette, going with the left leg, coming out of the right leg, reading du'as, etc., already is contributing to the establishment of salah. So istinja is correct. Now with the high pen, unfortunately, which is not the sunnah, now we use it because it's available. And the original sunnah is to squat as low as possible, to use the what you call the eastern pen, then to make sure the splashes of urine don't come on us, then the water also doesn't splash on us, wearing our hats, wearing topi also is a sunnah. And went to the toilet even more. He's mentioned in riwayat, in different narrations, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so particular, he never entered the toilet without his head being covered. He's mentioned specifically just about that only. We went to the toilet. Our daughters, our mothers, to ensure they got their hair covered also, went to the toilet. That's a breathing ground for shaitan. So istinja is correct. There we wash correctly. Shouldn't be that we go into extremism also. This has become very common. Person goes into extremism. And now he's sitting in the toilet for a long period of time. And you can hear now, lota after lota is washing, is washing, is washing. Now you think, he's having a car wash so long in the toilet. Toilet is quick, in and out. Nobody goes and camp there. You get an offside card. So long you're sitting in the toilet, you get a red card. It's not a place to go and camp. We do quickly and we come out. The person feels, I don't feel I'm clean still. But we can't be cleaner than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, wash and you finish. But he says, in case I'm still dirty, in case I'm still napak, I don't know. You don't know, you don't know. You do what is the command of Allah. And beyond that, Allah Ta'ala will not obligate you. So what is sunnah? Within the sunnah, finish. I wash myself, I made istibara, I ensure that the droplets of urine have come out from my private part, washed myself, over. There is no place in Sharia for doubts. There is no place in Sharia for doubts. I think, I feel, maybe. No place. It's cut off completely. Cut off completely. One doubt will lead to another doubt. Whispering of shaitan will lead to another whisper. What happens? A person in all that anxiety or extra precaution, in must his takbir-e-ula, in must his first saf, in must the jamaat salah also, all why? Oh, my taharat is not right. This is whispering. In fact, it's mentioned also there's a special shaitan appointed his job whole day now. Oh, his job is to blow in the posterior of man to make him doubt his wuzu. I got a wind problem. I got a wind problem. Wuzu is breaking all the time. Yes, genuinely you have a problem. Either you feel there's some movement in your stomach and then it's coming out from the posterior. There's some movement taking place from the stomach going down. And he feels it coming out from his posterior. Oh, he smells it. Oh, he hears it. He feels it. Smells it or hears it, genuinely we say wuzu broken. Didn't hear it, didn't smell it, there's no real movement, it just felt pockets of what? Pockets of air. I think my wuzu broke. I think. You are thinking, is it considered? Cut it out. You made wudu, wudu is done. The only time the wuzu will be cancelled off when you have certainty that my wuzu is broken. Doubt will not cancel off certainty. I'm certain I made my wudu. Finished, that's it. But maybe some drops came out. Do you know? No, leave it. Now, end of the day, who you to please? Allah. Allah is saying wuzu is done, but I'm saying wuzu not done. Now, who do you believe, yourself or Allah? Allah says, this is a masla. Wash 3 times, is over. Don't have to carry on washing and washing and washing. Then I have to remove my clothing also. Maybe my clothes will get napak. Then I can't go in jamaat also. Can't go and suffer also. Then I'm parashan. That about drops of urine. Over cautious. Sharia is very easy. Inna deena yusrun. Deen is absolutely easy. Yuridu Allahu bikumul yusra. Wa la yuridu bikumul usr. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in Quran, Allah intends for you easiness. Allah doesn't want difficulty for you. Now we're making it difficult. With our taharat, we go to extremism. So whether it's a toilet, then wuzu time also. Now he's making wuzu, they also tell the brothers, why are you making ghusl or you're making wuzu? Now in the masjid also, we're not paying for the water and so long he made wuzu. When he finishes, he said, Ya Allah, his whole kurta is wet, everything is soaking. Now he feels I made proper wuzu now. Wuzu, we find Nabi Ali Salatu wa Salam used about 750 mls, I think. 750 or less than that of water to make wuzu. We find that mud, a small container. That was the wuzu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person has problem with his wuzu and he feels he must wash over and over and over again. Then we tell the masturat at home, buy one mud and put it in wuzu khana. Don't allow him to go in the bath. Make him make wuzu with that. And how much is the use of that now? Only one mud. Sit there now and you make a wuzu. Finished. Cut off all extremism and we put our whole hand under the tap also. We only feel the wuzu is done when we soaked. Ah, now I made wuzu. I'm not feeling right. Is that about your feeling? Said Allah Ta'ala's command, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the correct thing. Therefore, all this over-cautiousness, as we mentioned, what Appa told the ladies, and for the men also, that we all got napak, we got park jinn. Hey, I'm not feeling right, not feeling park. Then, whether you call it OCD, it must be perfect. Perfect is namaz. What is the perfection of salah? Sunnah. Done. There's a perfect taharat, perfect ghusl. Ghusl also is quick. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam will send out the measurements. How much is used to make ghusl also? Not how much we use nowadays. How much is to use water to make ghusl? And ghusl is done. So we are going to a different level altogether. And because of these habits of ours, when you go traveling also, then we parishan now. I went to the public toilet, or I went here, I went there. Hey, I'm not back. So I can't read namaz. Stora, the ladies also. Not feeling park. I'm napak. Why are you napak? What happened? Now to the toilet. So any napaki there? No, there's no napaki there, but it wasn't clean. Wasn't clean meaning what? Well, there was some water here and there. Masla of Sharia is that everything is park and pure until proven impure. Until proven impure. You can see the impurity there. There was some urine there or stool there. Alright? You can see it or you can smell it. You can't taste it now. But you can see and you can smell it. Then you say napak. But you saw some water there now and my pants touched it. Hey, napak. No. Where's the proof? Any proof is napak? No, maybe. Your maybe doesn't work. Your maybe. Sharia is something that is definite. Is yes or a no? Yes, there was napak there. Could see the color of it. It was urine. Or could smell it. That there was some impurity there. Then it came into my clothing. How much came also? Yes, Sharia has given so much of leeway. How much came on the clothing? We know from when we did fiqh in madrasa, when it comes to the major impurities. So how much of that will make me impure? Even a drop of urine came onto my underpants, one drop will not make you napak. You can still perform salah. Unless it's more than, or this is the old 50 cent coin, or the 5 rand coin. Right, the inner part of your palm is more than that. Then we'll say it's napak. Blood also, urine also, stool came on the underpants, etc. Didn't realize it. You can still perform salah. Ideal things to change it. But according to Sharia, I can still perform namaz. Now according to me, I'm napa. Now, the Sharia say you're napa? No, but there's napa, but you're not napa. You can still perform salah. Salah will still be valid. You don't suffer right now. Yes, if you can change it, you can wash it, no problem. But to become so over-cautious now, this is not a demand of Sharia. So when it comes to passing wind, I've got a gas problem, I've got a wind problem, I have this problem, I have that problem. Really see it. Also a person has incontinence, urine drops. Here Sharia says make istibra. Alright, if you have to, after you relieve yourself, whether you put some tissue there, take a walk few minutes. Take a walk few minutes, etc. That is what you are obligated to do if you have this problem. Take a few steps here and there, go back to the toilet after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, pace yourself out, wash yourself, over. Now, I'm still not sure. And you're not sure, cut it out. Sharia say, do it like that, now you're pure and you're clean, your doubt, we don't consider it. Genuinely now, genuinely, yes, I know drops did come out. I know it, I've got proof for it also, now we'll consider. But no proof, and if it's coming out so often, the drops or the wind is experienced so often, every 4 minutes, every 5 minutes, that the duration of time it takes me to make wudu and perform salah. Now, these drops of urine or passing of wind occurs so often, I don't get a chance even to make wuzu properly and perform my salah. In that case, ask the Muftiyan-e-Ikram that am I qualified as a ma'adhur? If I'm a ma'adhur, then the masail are different. You have a urine problem, droplets all the time, passing wind all the time. To that extent, every 4 or 5 minutes, then they will say for you, passing of urine or the droplets of urine will not break your wuzu. You are a ma'adhur, so from amongst the 8 breakers of wuzu, you will have 7. This will not break it. Yes, when you go normally to pass urine, that wuzu will break. But you got droplet problems, you got wind problem also. So that will not break your wuzu now. So there are specific, a special masail. Then we can understand the Sharia made the walak so easy. I made it difficult. Now I'm delaying my namaz the last time, making wuzu upon wuzu, wuzu upon wuzu, I'm parashan now. Then the families get irritated, so long in the bathroom, so long. That's shaitani din that. And we're taking out our life, and things don't get better. We did, and our bathroom has the toilet there. So half the time goes away there, in the bathroom. Then we go and suffer. Now he's jammed the bathroom, nobody can use it. Why we need to use the bathroom? But I've got this problem. You've got a problem, ask the Muftiyan. What must I do? Then if you need some medication, go on to some medication. If something psychological, got to do with my brain. Some, other say some wire went loose. Or the screw when I put loose also, but tighten it a little bit. Go to the psychiatrist, I need some medication. My mind, I've got anxiety. All these things, something to calm you down. Something to calm you down. Or you've got a weak bladder. Some people have it, some mastorat have it also. You sneeze, then some drops of urine come out. Got anxiety, then that happens to me also. They think something will calm you down. So my ibadat can be calm also. Because my ibadat is spoiled. And shaitan will make the first attack. Person changes his life, will spoil his ibadat. That he becomes so cautious about toilet, bathroom, ghusl. And then his namaz also, not tried. Now the whole concentration is gone. Namaz is gone also. Whereas his namaz also, he can't concentrate, he's worried about his tahar. Whether my wuzu is intact. Now instead of his mind being and his heart being in the salah, now his mind and his heart is where? His underpants right now. Don't know, my wuzu broke, droplets came out, whole namaz goes like that. So shaitan caught him. He's reading salah, but he's not there. This is just in the motions only. So these things we have to consider as ulama ikram, if we need help, whether we need to go see a doctor, medical help, psychiatric help we need, where my mind is overworking, need to calm my nerves and my mind down in regards to my salah, my tahara, I'm anxious about this, then go and seek help. Is nothing wrong with it. Allah Ta'ala has kept that ilaj, kept some medication there where I can calm myself down a bit. So we make dua and dawa, both of it. Dua we make also, we take dawa, medication also, to control our thoughts, our minds, because these whisperings get worse. As we get older, get stronger. Then my whole ibadah gets spoiled after that. All my namaz are reading qaza now. Reading qaza, not coming right. It happens to brothers. And you can see how they're punishing themselves now. So when it comes to wuzu, you find the amount of water Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used. Subhanallah, this we learn from our honorable and beloved Shaykh also. How to make wudu, looking at this wuzu, how he makes it. How we learn, as we mentioned this morning, to be chokanna, to be alert, and see how they're doing it. Yes, they're not ma'asum, they're not sinless, they're not faultless. Yes, they will falter. You know the masala. Okay, this is a little bit now. Some people, they see the Shaykh in old age. They see how he's performing namaz, how he's making wuzu. So they will do the same way. He's old now. So he'll make wuzu like that. He'll go to the toilet like that. Maybe he got some problem, he'll use that pen. He's reading namaz now, he's doing half a ruku, so I make half a ruku also. My Hazrat makes namaz like that. He's got old now, he's got a hunch. You make according to sunnah. Fits the sunnah, alhamdulillah. Then I follow my sheikh how he's doing it. So this you got to understand. Yes, we follow the sheikh in everything. Yeah, Hazrat sees also, as we mentioned this morning, how the sheikh is making wudu, how he's performing salah, how he's doing things. Then that we don't see. But we want to be close. But what we'll see, sheikh, he likes sunny side up. He likes sunny side up. He likes the tea like that. These biscuits he likes also. I'll eat the same thing. That sunnah of the sheikh we love. What is his menu, that we like. But his a'mal, no, inshallah, we'll get there. But when it comes to the sweet things in life, Hazrat, he likes it like that too. I'll also eat it like that. Because Hakim Sahib Rahimullah went to Mauritius. Then he whispered to the host that I only have desi eggs, free range eggs. So the host now had to go to the other side of the island to get eggs. And you know how big Mauritius is. But if you drive too fast, you might land in the ocean. So he went to the other side of the island. Is that a very big island, brother? So he went to get some eggs to Hazrat. So somehow that whisper of the Sheikh became one hangama. All the murids said, oh, Hazrat only eats desi eggs. Or he only eats free range eggs. So the first morning they made for Hazrat quietly, gave him in his room, he had his eggs, etc., everything. But the second morning, the host came, Hazrat, there's no more eggs left. He said, kya hua? Then he checked in the fridge, no more eggs left, desi eggs. See, then he called the murids. He said, by Deko, this sunnat of the Shaykh, that you'll fulfill very nicely. Hazrat is this, so we all have free range eggs. What I'm telling you all to do, that you all don't do. Ma'amulat, a'mal, keep the heart clean. That, but the menu of the Shaykh, that sunnat you make ada properly. That sunnat you all fulfill properly. So, to keep a balance also. So when it comes to these things, so Hazrat's wudu also, you see how he makes wudu, he teaches it practically. How he'll make the wudu. We just do very quickly. What is ghusl also? How to make ghusl? In Sharia, there's no such thing, I'm going for a splash. I'm going for a shower. We call it a ghusl. Ghusl, how much water to use? We'll be conscious about it also. And then how to make the ghusl? When we go into the ghusl khana, then the first sunnah is to sit down and to cover yourself as much as possible. That is the first thing. Here now, in fact, supposed to advise the brothers also to put a chair there. Put a chair in the ghusl khana. So we sit down. In our homes also, we got showers. The best thing is take out the shower head and put a hose, put a nice hook over there so we can sit. For the mastarat also, the best thing for them is they must sit and have the ghusl. Here we find commonly now, because we have this, we're standing up and we're bathing. Nani, dadi gone old. Now they're standing up and having a bath. And just think about it, it doesn't register. Standing there unclothed, how much of their haya? So immodest will be standing there unclothed, naked, and this is their whole plot is to remove the haya sharam of the ummat. That now they're so used to be modeling like that now without clothes on. That's totally public too, they can do that. They won't feel anything about it. So this already training around our young daughters, our mothers, and then they're quite old also, standing and having a bath. The steam is so much in the bathroom, then they get dizzy, then they fall down, then you hear the brother say, make the mother is going for a hip replacement. What happened? She fell in the shower. How come she fell? No, she was too much of steam. Why did you put a chair there? Let her sit down. Put some handrails when she comes out. So all these things we've taken in without thinking. Tatafakkaru. Think, is it now conducive? Is it according to sunnah? Is it part of our shariat? All these designs they're giving us, and all these new things they are giving us, does it fit within the Shariat, within the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we gotta apply your mind, we gotta think. So how to have a bath? First, among the Sunnahs is, the first we wash the private parts. Wash the private parts, and then we make complete wudu. This is the Sunnah, the ghusl now. Quick it happens. Make a complete wudu, then you wash the right hand side 3 times, left hand side 3 times, then from the head down completely, we wash our body, ghusl is done. Every hair strand is wet, the bath is over. How long that will take? 2 minutes. 3 minutes. 3 minutes, mashallah, the boys are trained in some madrasas. They go 3 minutes, the bath is done. 3 minutes is done. In 3 minutes we can have a ghusl. But we know when we're sitting in the bathroom now, the only time we'll come out is when the geyser water is finished. Now I have a bath. There's no more hot water left in the geyser. Now I'll come out. And the entire bathroom is steamed up. So that is not according to Sunnah. We have to take note of it. Although we become so accustomed now, and we sit there, just relax there, not a place to relax. Although they call it now rest room. They call it rest room. And Qabr too, they call rest in peace. But it's not a place to rest. So here in the bathroom also, wash the private parts. Then if there's any impurity, napaki, if there is there, remove that. Make a complete wudu. And then after right hand side, three times, left hand side, entire body we done. Very quickly it is. You have to use some soap, some gel. Hazrat says also, this we made farz. If somebody asked that one person, the farz of ghusl. What he said? Towel, shampoo, soap, and hot water. For farz of ghusl. He said, no, boy, that's the farz of ghusl. Farz of ghusl is there. Alright? So, this is our farz. Must have the shower gel. Hazrat says, any kitab it comes, that you must use soap. I said, but I don't feel right. That I don't feel right that I have to use something, some shower gel or some soap, etc. And otherwise the ghusl is not done. Ghusl is not done. Then Hazrat says, what is enough to clean you? Water, just plain water is enough to clean you, unless there is some grime or something on your body, some grease or some other chemicals, whatever, be on your body, then you need some detergent to remove it. He says now, the most impure thing that exists in a person's body is stool, feces. But then when a person does number two, he doesn't go to the toilet or the shower gel. Plain water he uses, plain water. There's no smell, there's no dirt left, and it's clean. Then now for number two, he doesn't use shower gel, doesn't use soap also. But now when I go have a bath, I must use it. Otherwise I don't feel right. So for us to tune our mind also, as it says, now we become so particular about these things over here, now to go in Jamaat is difficult. You tell us, become a rough jack, become a Badri Sahabi, that where they have zuhud, abstention from dunya, that they led their lives with minimum dunya, and they have taqwa in them. Quickly do your abstain, avoid long showers, long baths. Now we become so accustomed, yes, women will be a bit longer now. They have longer hair also, they got to wash their hair, etc. But for them to keep long nails, not permissible. Long nails, dirt, muck, full, get stuck under it. Sometime is waterproof, water resistant. Their ghusl is not made. So they're going to be so careful. They're going to be very, very careful about it. Of how they make their ghusl also. So this muzakara we're going to make at home. In regards to ghusl till it comes into our lives. That we know. And these lessons, subhanAllah, we learn from Hazrat. Otherwise, who will teach us these lessons? How to take a bath, how to go to the toilet, quickly wash over there, come out, etc. Then wuzu also, to make wuzu. And the wuzu, we see our Honorable Sheikh, how he makes the wuzu also. Quickly. Miswak is there in his place, washing the hand, wash right hand, wash left hand. Then gargle the mouth, use the miswak. And if these people are waiting for me, I'm holding the seat now, then I don't relax and use the miswak. People are waiting to use the wuzu khana. If you really want to use miswak properly, make wuzu at home. Then you bring your 4-year-old son, 5-year-old son, and now you want to give him tuition in the masjid, wuzu khana, how to make wuzu. That you must do at home. Now this water, somebody is paying for it. People's time, people are waiting, now you're holding up two seats. You're making wuzu and you're teaching him now. Teach him at home, not in the masjid. So here wuzu is quick. People are waiting to use the wuzu khana. So miswak also done quickly, right? Miswak we do, cleaning the nose, blowing the nose, gargling, not just putting water in the mouth. You gargle also. If you're fasting, then you can't gargle. Gargling also, washing the nose, putting water inside and blowing it. Both are sunnat mustahab. Then to wash the face. Now washing the face, if you see that mud, the container I'm talking about, which Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to use that amount of water. So little bit comes in the palm, just a bit only. Set a full palm. Or both, just one palm is full. Like that, now he will rub it on his face. As long as the water is still on the face, on the limbs, then all you have to do is rub it in. That's it. Wuzu is done. Second time, third time. Then you take a little bit more, you want to just put it here. This area now between the ears and the beard, that has to be made wet. Right from the earlobe. So all that has to be made wet. If the beard is sparse, that you can see through the beard to the skin, then the water has to reach there. The moustache also you can see through, water has to reach there. So there, how are you going to make it reach? Now what you will do, we take water upon water. I will be splashing, splashing, splashing. And how much water is being used right now? So all we got to do, the water that is there, we rub it in. Wuzu is done. So two times, three times, we put water, then we wash quickly, we rub it right through, in the corner of the eyes there, the eyebrows, and from where manbatu shar, qasasu shar, where the hair begins to grow. If you have gone bald, does it mean from behind the head now? Where it was growing from originally. So from there now, to make sure water reaches from there, till ila asfali dhaqni, till below the chin. Till below the chin. From one earlobe to the next earlobe. Simple. Here the baby beard also. You can see the skin to make sure the water reaches there. So we got to check that we are doing all these things. To get that done, you don't need a lot of water as I mentioned. So we'll come back to that. Only you wash the face. The masturat, the ladies also have to be particular when they're making their wuzu, that the water is reaching all these areas of the face, as far as. Then to wash the hand, you're also using the mud container, little bit comes in one palm only. Just in one palm, that amount of water. That you just roll it down. How far it will reach? Just around here it will reach. All this will be dry. So what you got to do? You rub it. As long as the water is still on your palm, on your hand, all you got to do is got to rub it. The water that leaves, infasala anil udwi, the water that leaves the limb, you can't take that water and push it back. This is regarded as al-ma'ul musta'mal, used water. The water has been used already, you can't reuse it. It's pure and clean, but it cannot purify. It cannot purify. So the water is on the limb, you rub it. You do it a second time, it'll go a little further. You rub it even more. And then a third time, it's done. Then the left hand. After both the hands finished, then you make the khilal. One of two ways, you take your left hand, you make khilal of your right fingers. And you take the right hand thereafter, khilal of the left fingers. Either that way or this way. You make the khilal. That's done after washing both the hands. Then you make masah of the head. Masah of the head also, it becomes in the palm, rub it between both the palms, and then you make masah of the head. There are different methods mentioned in kitabs also. Can be done like that. Doesn't have to. You can use just your whole hand also. You just make khilal. You make masah of the head one time. That's done. Then khilal of the ears. As you can see me doing it, khilal of the ears, behind the ears, then khilal of the nape, right hand side, left hand side, right side and the left side, that is done. Most of the brothers you'll find they make khilal of the fingers after they make masa of the head. Must be done before that. Khilal of the fingers is a completion of washing of the hands. Then you make khilal of the fingers, then you wash the feet. Those are three times and it's done. And how much water is left over in the mud? Hardly anything. Little bit now is fall from the toes going down, then you rub it over. We rub it over the right leg, make khilal of the toes also with your little finger of the left hand. Starting from the little toe of the right foot, coming that way you make khilal. Either after washing the right foot, you'll make khilal of all the toes, and then you wash the left foot, and then you make khilal from the big toe to the small toe with your little finger of the left hand. Oh, you can make khilal of the toes after you wash both the feet. Also washing the hands, including the elbows. When it comes to the feet, including the ankles. Okay? So after you wash both the feet, then you can make khilal then also. Then you'll start from the right foot, little toe. And from that now you'll continue till you come to the left foot, little toe, khilal is done. Then we find Hazrat after that, he would tell us more than often, Nabi Ali Salatu Salam never used to use anything to wipe himself. More than often. Right, that time, you should make wuzu outside. It was quick. It was quick. Wuzu was very quick. And there was no time now to wipe. It wasn't part of the sunnah. It was the heat of Saudi Arabia also, the Arabian lands. And here also most of the time is hot. So we have these two habits now. For me to feel that my ghusl is done, or my wuzu is done, I must feel absolutely drenched in water and soaked. Now I feel right. Now I made wuzu. I had a ghusl. Oh, I'm not feeling right. I need to wash it again. I need to wash it. It's done already. Tell yourself it's done. According to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, my wuzu is done. Said according to me. Fulfill the sunnahs and the fara'is. Ghusl is done already. So once we cut it off there, then we'll find life will become easy. Wuzu, taharat, necessities of life, done already. I continue. Then we find Hazrat also after wuzu, doesn't wipe. As he's getting up, then you'll find him. what he will do just to ensure. As he gets up, he'll be wiping his face, putting his hand inside the eyes like this, and rubbing the water a little bit. He'll rub here and there, just to make sure. Acha, after washing the face also, they may take a bit of water and you make khilal of the beard. How you make khilal? You put some water with the wet palm, running through the beard this way. Running through the beard this way. How much of the beard has to be made wet? That hair that is attached to the face. This is hanging over, etc. It doesn't have to be. What's attached to the face, it has to be made wet. And this that is hanging out, mustarsal min al-sha'r, that needs to be khilal of it. That's sufficient. So what Hazrat will do just to ensure after he finishes, just rub everything properly. Make sure water went through. Rub it a bit. That's it. The hand also very quickly he'll rub it again properly. Water reached everywhere. Wuzu is done. Get onto the musalla and perform salah. Then to comb the hair every time. So you find some people now after every wuzu they're grooming themselves. Now they'll take out the comb. Now they want to comb their beard, etc. Yes. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, how much is to comb his beard? How much is to comb his hair? They also we follow the sunnah, not after every salah, not after every wuzu. Now you've got sunnahs to read. Tahiyyatul wudu also must read. How many of us read any time in our life? Hazrat said, it is once in your life, read it. Tahiyyatul wudu separately, tahiyyatul masjid separately. But these are all nawafil. At least we read it once in our lifetime, we get the reward of it. Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq, we read it more than often. Like even for the sunnahs of Fajr, one is, you know, to read it at home. That is sunnah. Then Hazrat will mention that Hazrat Thalwi Rahmatullah Ali, his preference was to read the 2 rakah sunnah of Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Why was the intention, ya Allah, get the reward of Tahiyyatul Masjid also? So both are correct. To come read it in the masjid also, like we say, Hazrat Wala, read his 2 sunnahs in the masjid. So we can read it at home also, and we can read it in the masjid. So Tahiyyatul Wudu, Tahiyyatul Masjid, these salahs are there, these are nafil namazes, these are sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that is the taharat. How to make wuzu, how to make ghusl, how to make istinja, these muzakaras, we're going to make as-salama ikram for the finer points of it. But it's very basic, very simple, very easy. When it comes to salah, so when it comes to salah also, coming to the masjid, all these, and he also has taught us, that person who's thrifty in using wuzu water, then Allah will grant him barakat in his rozi. Doesn't waste water. Even though you may be sitting by a running pond, running river, water is running, there too Nabi Ali Salatu Salam mentioned more or less, different kitabs is mentioned, that even where there's running water right now, there's no shortage of water, even there to use extra water will be tantamount and counted as israf. You use extra water. Israf, Allah has no love for those that are extravagant. You use extra water. Wasn't permissible. It's sinful. Use what you, how much you need to use, although there's running water there. But he washed more than 3 times. 3 times is sufficient. Yes, if within 3 times now, the work wasn't done, then there's permission. Or at the 4th time then. But mustn't go to 5 and 6. Like as we mentioned now, when it comes to taharat and toilet, now you're filling the lota upon lota upon lota, filling it up. How much water is being used? How much water is being used? It's israf now. We don't need so much water to be used. So salah also we are coming, the person who is thrifty in wudu, then there will be barakat in his rozi. Allah will grant him barakah in his rozi. Coming for salah now. When you come for salah, the command of Allah is aqim salata li dhikri. Establish salah for my remembrance. Iqamatu salah, establishing salah means to perform salah with all the prerequisites. Taharat is good, 100%, to the best of our ability. We use the miswak also, that will enhance the reward of the salah. Times 70. As if now a person performing zuhur salah today 70 times. But he used miswak. Just using the miswak, such a powerful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we carry miswak, one in the bathroom, one in the bedroom, one in the ghusl khana. Put it everywhere. So we don't lose out on the reward of using the miswak. So the miswak we can use, is there, we use it during our wuzu. Even in the ghusl khana, we're taking a ghusl there also, we're making wuzu, use the miswak there also. So the miswak is there, so we read salah. So, aqim salah means perform your salah. Establishment of salah, which is a command of Allah, will mean that I perform my salah with all the farais of salah, wajibat of salah, sunnats of salah, and mustahabbat. Mustahabbat are omitted. or the sunnahs are omitted in salah, then we have not fulfilled the command of the Quran Sharif. Quran says aqim is salah, not sallu, that is perform namaz. Quran, Allah demands you establish it. So establishment of salah will mean all the mustahabbat, all the sunnahs, all the wajibat, all the farais. Now you have fulfilled the command of Quran. Or as yet, you haven't performed namaz. Your salah is deficient. Your salah is deficient. And we take it to be light. Okay, a Muslim mustahabbat only. The food is 100%. MashaAllah, well prepared. You can see the flavor on it also. You can see that it's hot enough also. And it's served so properly, so nicely. What's missing? He forgot to put salt inside. Forgot the salt. Oh, only salt. That's all. And just sprinkle a little bit of salt. Ah, now it's right. That's what salah is about. Everything, when you must the mustahabbat, what do you say? Not serious. But the food, not serious now. And what the noise, where's the salt? Tell them send the salt. And just a few sprinkles of salt will change the entire flavor of that. Now this food is right. So in the same way, when it comes to awalim, alim also now, that thing looks so good, it's got burnt a little bit. Or the tea, ishtima tea got burnt a little bit. Oh, what happened here now? We were looking forward for a nice cup of tea, and the cook fell asleep a little bit. And the thing got burnt, the milk got burnt a bit. The whole tea got spoiled. But we just think, but it wasn't what we thought it was. Salah, same thing also. Just that one thing we missed out, we haven't established salah. You will not get the full benefits, what Allah Ta'ala has promised upon salah. But this is aqim salah. Establish salah for my remembrance. That we establish it correctly, all of our eyes, wajibat, sunnat, mustahabbat. With this we have to learn. What are the mustahabbat of salah? What are the sunnats of namaz? What are the wajibat, the farais? Then my namaz, I can start the journey of namaz really. So we have to go to the ulama karam. We've got a lot to learn, to implement. And then also, doesn't mean I got it once off, it's done for life. The car always needs service. It can be a super vehicle also, but how much you paid? Still got to service the car. Namaz has to be serviced all the time. Taharat also serviced all the time. That's why once in a year, as I say, we have the Atikah programs. It should service these things. Majalis service these things. You go in the path of Allah, ulama, Ilyas Abrahimullah would say, for this reason, I want in every jamaat to be one alim, one qari sahab. One alim will teach the jamaat the masail of deen. And one qari sahab that will teach the jamaat the tajweed of Quran Sharif. Now that is a complete jamaat. There's an alim there also teaching them. The qari sahab there also teaching them Quran. That's a complete. That was his tamanna and desire. So then in jamaat also we have somebody like, alhamdulillah, we can't get it, then we go to the ulama ikram. I need to learn the mustahabat of salah. I want to learn it, how to do it. So we learn salah correctly, it's iqamatu salah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Sallu, that all of you all perform salah. Kama ra'aytumuni, as you see me performing salah. Command of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. For sahaba ikram, perform namaz. Perform salah as you see me performing salah. Now, how are we going to do this? We didn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How are we going to get it right? For those that learned from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam how to perform namaz, one sahabi came into the masjid, up and down he performed salah. He was going out, he told him, irji fa salli, fa innaka lam tusalli. Oh, my sahabi, go back, perform your namaz again. What you did now wasn't namaz. First time, second time, third time, one of you teach me now. Then Nabi said, told him, when you perform salah, then stand up in namaz until you have itminahan. Say, warka hatta tatma'inla. Then go into ruku until you got itminahan. You had peace. Then come into coma, stand up thereafter until you have itminahan. All your body parts come back to the original place. Then you go into sajda. There also with itminahan. No rushing. Jalsa between the two sajdas. Oh, now your namaz is correct. You had itminahan in namaz. It was graceful, there was beauty in it. Not rushing up and down. Now your namaz is correct. What you did right now going up and down is like a hen pecking the ground. How we say? Up and down. Up and down, kiss the ground and back to town. I got work to do. No, it's not namaz then. There's a way how to perform that namaz. With beauty, to be graceful in salah. Not like a robot also. But it comes up and down, so serious. This beauty namaz is. Sometimes we learn namaz, we become so rigid now. People think, hey, this namaz is just dropping down all of a sudden, coming up all of a sudden, and these fingers are so straight, like now, military, no, it's not military training. Allah is beautiful, He likes beauty. وَأَحْسِنُوا Only Ibrahim Diola Sahib makes tarjuma wa ahsinu. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Ahsinu comes from husan, beauty. Comes from like Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. When he was taken to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu as a baby when he was born. In the house of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. His mother was the khadima of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, the honorable wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he was born Hassan Basri, so she took him to Umar bin Khattab, who was a khalifa. When he saw him, he said, Hassan, what beauty this is. Such a handsome baby he was, so his name became Hassan also. So if you understand now beauty, so Quran says, wa ahsinu. Ahsinu means do good deeds. But the word that is used, when Ibrahim Sahib mentions, that this ayat demands that you do every action with husan and beauty. Beautify your a'mal. Do it in a beautiful manner. Allah loves those who do a'mal in a beautiful manner. Not this dry, rigid, brittle. But it's done beautifully. People see also, what a beautiful namaz. Even when we eat also, Hazrat taught us when we eat also, how Allah Ta'ala has prepared the food for us, how is it dished? Subhanallah. How the food is dished to us. The fruits Allah Ta'ala has given us, how is gift wrapped by Allah. Whether watermelon, whether the mango, subhanallah. Mango season comes, rang barang. See the beautiful color of the mangoes. And how you need to get back home. Tonight now we're going to have proper mango jalsa. You're going to sit now, properly jump, say we got the audio. We got the sweet mangoes, the sugar mangoes, we got that mangoes. How we enjoyed Allah's ni'mat. Gift wrapped from Allah to you. Even the banana also. When you look at that bunch of bananas, and how many different varieties of bananas. Brothers, no, but only varieties you get. Over 100 varieties of bananas. You only know a few. Over 100 varieties of bananas only. Different taste, different texture. Allah has kept. Brother says, go in dunya, fasiru fil earth. Go and travel out in dunya. Allah accept. Sitting at home, what are you going to see? Potholes. He said, better you go in the path of Allah. Path of Allah, you go and how Allah will feed you also. What are the fruits is out there? Things we haven't seen as yet. Allah has kept in the dunya just for banda to enjoy and make his shukr. So when all these things now, watermelon, when they cut it up, subhanallah, the one pieces or chunks and you see the juice of it, brothers are fasting also, maaf karna. But just to increase the appetite, inshallah. So the fruits, when it's dished out, how enjoy the fruits, subhanallah. Hazrat says, see Allah Ta'ala gift wrap the fruits for you. So Allah Ta'ala teaches you there also, when we're eating food after we finished, when the food came, the Dasar Khan looks so beautiful. So when you finish it now, it mustn't be, the Dasar Khan looks like a war zone. What happened over here? Everything upside down. Then too, Hazrat teaches us, you eat mangoes, you finish eat it, the outer peel, how Allah Ta'ala gave it to you to eat. Now when you finish eat it, the peel also, how you must put it, is the peel must be on the outer part. Once you finish eating, we just throw it like that. He said, no, don't throw it like that. Put it one side of the plate, Dasar Khan, but the skin of it, that will be visible to the onlooker. And just put it like next to, or stack it up. So it still looks nice. Allah's ni'mat still looks nice. Not just thrown around. Watermelon also, you finish it, just stack it up nicely, properly. Not just thrown around. The seeds are here, the peels are there. Even the banana, how beautiful Nallapa gives it to you. When you finish, you just throw the peel like this. No, don't throw it. You enjoy the ni'mat of Allah, put it. I would say just stretch it out a little bit and put it one side. Eat a few, put it together. So it still looks nice. After you ate it, you consumed it, it still looks good. That's why there's no place of wastage in Sharia. That you eat half the food, just left it like that. Half the roti, buttered the entire thing, had one, two pieces from there, and threw the rest of it. Oh, inna Allah. The ni'mat of Allah, we're just throwing away. Coming back to salah. So perform salah as you see me performing salah. Sallu kama. Now we haven't seen Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat tells us, like how we come to our knowledge in ilm, our hadith, we have a sanad, we have a chain. I learned from my ustaz, he learned from his ustaz, he goes right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This is my sanad of hadith, my sanad of ilm. When it comes to our bi'at also, we have a sanad, we have a chain, silsila. So our silsila to our honorable Shaykh Azam Abdul Hamid Sahib bin Barakatuh, Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Haji Nakuda Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Namun Munakamru Zaman Sahib Dama Barakatuh, who is our Dada Shaykh. And how the chain goes up. So that we have a whole chain also, we call it Shajara. We have a whole chain, Hazrat has on his website also, how we linked up goes right to the top, right to Hassan Basri, Hazrat Ali, then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the whole bi'at also has a chain. So when it comes to salah also, Hazrat says, you also must have a chain. Who did you learn salah from? Because Sahaba Ikram is going to the marketplace. Call the people, they come forward, we'll teach you how Nabi Ali said perform namaz, how he made wuzu. Call them to the masjid, teach him about salah. But this was coming down generations. They were learning from one another. They were learning. It wasn't just namutun and nusus. They're only the text, theory. But they had practical also. Where they would teach the students how to perform the namaz. And this came down generations, came down. Therefore we also have to learn salah. Seekhne ke cheez hai. Salah, wuzu, taharat, something we have to learn. So for this also, we come to the programs, we come to the majalis, we come for i'tikaf. The Hazrat says that we learn how to perform namaz. I got a chain. For us also, alhamdulillah, we learn practically from Hazrat how to perform namaz. Our Shaykh al-Hadith also taught us. Other ustas taught us. Line us up in the class, stand up. This is how you perform. We did the theory, now the practical. Now we have a chain of namaz. I learned from my Shaykh, from my ustas. From his Shaykh, when I saw Hazakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, how you teach in the bayan, you would tell some khulafa or khalifa, stand up. Stand up, give the iqamah. Teach him how to give the iqamah, as we mentioned before. How to give the iqamah, how to give the adhan. So all these things were taught practically. When we went to the khanqah of Wa'ana, Abdarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Muhyi Sunnah, the Hakim Sahib's Shaykh also. Went to his khanqah. There he would teach also how to make salam. He would teach also how to make musafaha. According to Sunnah. So when you lined up also to make salam, you would teach before that, make properly salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then how to reply. It was very particular. Salam must be done correctly. Reply must be done correctly. So this haphazard. The dunya we eat properly. We dress properly. The cows must be serviced properly. The house must be clean. But deen, okay. We're happy with the substandard. Like Hazrat Muhyi Sunnah, when Abarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, was the Khalifa of the Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, once in Bombay he gave a bayan in regards to Tajweed of Quran Sharif, how to read Quran correctly. He says some people don't care. They read Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He says, it's not correct that. When it comes to dunya, we want A class. We want first grade, A grade. Cherries came out in Cape Town, the red ones now. So those cherries, you want Cape Town cherries. They're nice, they're big ones. You want the export mal one. You want that one over there. Mangoes also, you want the best one. Oh, you got that one from Cape or from where? It comes with nice ones from some Porty side around there. All the mangoes come from that area. Anyway, you want that one over there. You want that type of mal. So when it comes to dunya, you want A mal. When it comes to deen, you say, no, it's alright. Our Quran is okay. We don't have to get it right. So Hazrat says, no. So anyway, after the bayan, when youngster came to Hazrat, acting a bit cheeky, he said, no, dunya too, be happy. Dunya also be happy with B grade. So his father was there, he said, what do you say? He said, no, dunya too. Why are you forcing the issue? We carry Quran, is good enough. So dunya also, we don't have a problem. So his father said, don't lie. When he wanted a wife, he wanted B grade. Then he wanted A grade wife. Wanted furniture also, wasn't second hand, he wanted new furniture. Now, telling Hazrat, no, you're happy with B grade, you're not happy with B grade. You want brand new everything. Everything must be first class. So deen also must be first class. So we take out our time to learn our deen correctly, first class deen, we won't get it perfected. But Allah Ta'ala wants to see the effort behind it. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا That make that mujahada, exert yourself, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ Allah say, I will teach you. You make the effort, then I will take over and I will teach you how to do it. So our salah also, how Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam performed salah, we learn also how to perform the salah. And we continue making the effort to perfect it. In that effort of perfecting it, we hope Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will give us the full reward of it. We came with bibida'atin muzjatin, fake goods. Allah will make it genuine. Come to salah, very important. We mentioned our taharat already, ghusl, istinja, wuzu. And now comes to salah is the main thing. All this now is a prerequisite for salah to be correct. So to my salah to be correct, masturat at home, they have to learn the namaz also. Sometimes you see how they performing salah so fast. So fast, it's unbelievable. What you read, what surah you read. Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Subhan. Why? Oh, the pot is in the stove. Hazrat says, now where's your heart is in the kettle, your heart is in the stove. We just make the second salam already, put the stove off. He said, where your namaz was? Was in the stove, was in the pot, was in the kettle, was in the oven. Whole life comes out like that. Worried about the kitchen and the namaz is gone. No concentration, no devotion. That type of salah, Allah Ta'ala protect us, doesn't go just above the head also, is turned into a dirty rag and thrown back on the face. Thrown back on the face. And the salah curses a person. The salah says, ذَيَّعَكَ اللَّهِ May Allah destroy you as you destroyed me. And the salah is correct, you made the correct effort, you were conscious of it, then the salah will say, may Allah protect you as you protected me. The salah will make dua for you. May Allah protect you as you have protected me. Salah was correct. So the mastura ladies at home, they have to take note also. How we're reading our namaz, concentration, devotion. Make sure we cut ourselves off for that amount of time. We do it correctly. And also, very importantly, after salah also, the sunnahs are attached to the farz. In our teachings of our shaykh, all the wazaif are read after the nawafil. Finish your nafils, etc. Then read your wazifas. Best time. Because you know our wuzu, as one ustaz said, wuzu made in China. Before we can get to wuzu. There are so many wazifas, by the time we get to the sunnah, wuzu is gone. Only I read it at home. By the time we reach home also, wuzu broke. Now you still have your wuzu, read your sunnahs, read the nawafil. Now you can relax and read your wazaif. Ladies also, they take so much of time after farz. Now they're reading long, long wazifas, etc. And then in between something will come, children will come, some kitchen taqaza will come. Now, then she'll quickly rush there, come back, read two rakat sunnat. Then go back again. Husband came, still in the burqa, finished namaz, I still got witr. Still got witr. What happened? I read my first namaz about half an hour ago, just got three rakats left. But what happened in between all this time then? Namaz must be done one time, finish. Namaz must be, time, must be tied together. Our Hazrat says you make that pot of biryani also. She knows now. Everything is steamed, everything is done, there's timing behind it. Now to set the pot, when to put it in the oven, what temperature, it all has timing must be right. Timing must be right, even for the cake not to flop also. The timing must be right. Then we got a perfect cake. Now she's happy. What about the namaz? We want a perfect namaz. The timing must be correct also. Now's the time for the sunnah. Now's the time for the nafil. Do it now, finish. Then you can do the wazifas after that. No problem. But how beautifully we are taught by Hazrat and Apa also to the Masturah. They say to them, you have young children that need your time. There's no nafil namaz for you. Just your nafil ibadat. Look after the children. Give them your time. Now the long, long nafils you are reading now, children are all helter-skelter now. Husband comes, everything is upside down. Now you're running now to put things right. What happened? Long, long nafils you read, mashallah, once the children are big, now you got all the time. They got their namaz, they got their madrasa work, now you can do all your nawafil. But as a young mother, your nafil now is looking after your children. You get your time in your life when you can do all the nawafil, inshallah. So when it comes to our sunnahs, nawafil attached to our faraiz. Here in the masjid also, we know, once you finish your farz, you walk to the back, what happens? One friend is there, other friend is there, and the sunnahs are gone. When you just finish your conversation, father, quickly, two rakat namaz, up and down. And I finish my sunnahs. No, do the talking after that. Read my sunnahs first, nawafil first, tasbihat first. Then now, mashallah, you can meet your socialize. But masjid is not for that. Outside the masjid. Sometimes there's so much of talking in the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So coming back to our namaz. So perform salah as you see me performing namaz. This is the command of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How to make amal upon this? We see our mashayikh, we go to them, teach me namaz. Whether it's here in the program or a local alim too. Give me 5 minutes every day. One musalli in our masjid also. He came to me. Doesn't look very upright, pious person. But he had talab and desire. What has happened? Everybody's gone after Isha, the lights are out. Just teach me wuzu, please. Just teach me wuzu. I don't want anybody to be there. Right? So I'll wait for you. Once the lights are off, talim is over. I said, no problem. To get wuzu khana, he says, teach me 100%. I want to perfect it. Because everything else is good in my life. So I want it perfected, taught him. Then too, if he didn't understand, or he forgot, he sent me a voice clip. Just tell me about the tashahud, how you said, how high the finger must go, and how you must drop it, and just to get it right. Because everything else we got right in life. Like this he learned. Wuzu he learned. Then he said, I want to check the namaz also. So one of the nights also you are free, nobody is around, just take me one corner in the dark there, just show me how to perform that namaz. Alhamdulillah. You see, performing his namaz, tries his best, he gets it right. But he learnt it. So to have desire like that, get one alim, get somebody there, teach me how to perform my namaz, to perfect it. Then we'll see how the difference our life will become. We get the full benefits of salah, inshallah. So coming to our namaz, to get it correctly, So a person joins the salah, standing facing the qibla. Very quickly, now recently in madrasa also I did a demonstration with the students, a quick demonstration. So I told him, just check my namaz. Sometimes things become more clear when you explain the opposite. Things become more clear when you do the opposite. So I told him, check my namaz, because alhamdulillah you are studying kitabs, you are seeing some Quran and Hadith, how to perform the salah. Well, just check my namaz is correct. So I stood there in the front, I went in the front of the class for the whole listening. I said, right, I'm reading namaz. They all started laughing. I said, why are you laughing? Is it not right? I said, okay. Feet are facing, they say one foot is facing Karachi, one facing Istanbul. I stood like that and I said, they laughed again. I said, what's wrong? I said, no, it's not right. I said, what's the problem? I said, no, your feet must face the Qibla. I said, okay. How many fingers apart? Four fingers apart, as far as possible. أقرب إلى الخشوع. Closer to concentration. Person is about mashallah, because some weight on him. Then, as he's comfortable, both the feet facing towards the Qibla. So they told me, so I made takbir. He said, no, palms must be higher than that. Your thumbs in line with the earlobes, palms facing towards the Qibla. So when I did it the first time incorrectly, they laughed. So I said, why you laugh? Is that right? I said, every day like you all. That's how you read namaz every day. Then they started, oh. I said, that's how you read. I'm just giving you like how you do it every day. Putting all people's namazes together, after reading the kitab, you still come with like no concentration, nothing. You're just going to stand in the park now. And quickly when you get over, you're going to go home. I said, that's how you all do it. Just make the stand like that. Hazrat says, now one person who is reading namaz next to him, let's get back to the namaz now. So the feet facing towards the Qibla. Four fingers apart as far as possible. Oh, however you're comfortable, not too far apart also. But facing towards the Qibla, we are connecting to Baitullah right now. We have to have that connection. Then we don't tilt the head. We stand upright. Just the head, the eyes look at the place of sajda, where I'm going to make sajda. Not looking front also, looking where I'm going to make my sajda. Then we raise the hands. The hands we raise, very simple. As we stand here, we don't do this. Somebody next to me, you might give him a shot also. Yes, our own number. So all, as the hands is down, we just raise it like this. We raise the hands, then in line with the earlobes. Whether we touch the earlobes, or they in line this way, or in line this way. So, it's in line with the earlobes, the tips of your thumb. Tips of your thumb, in line with the earlobes, you bring your hand here, and the palm facing towards the Qibla, and the fingers naturally apart. Not closed, not open. Naturally apart. Natural. So here you raise the hands, from here you make takbir. The other masail, whether you make takbir from the hands down, or you're raising the hands, after you tie the hands, you make takbir. The masail are there, can be done. But the best ulama say, when you raise the hands, from here you start takbir. So you raise the hands, don't tilt the head also. Head is up naturally. Just the eyes are focused, and you raise the hands. From here, Allahu Akbar. By the time you make Akbar, you tie the hands. You tie the hands below the navel for the Hanafis, below the navel. Takbir also, Allahu Akbar. Not Allahu Akbar. Not Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Tajweed a little bit there also, Allahu Akbar. Kaf is there. Bar also, the ra is full. And also that bar, Allahu Akbar. Incorrect. Imam also should be particular. When he's making takbir, don't pull the Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. What happens to the musallis, old people? They are anxious to get takbir at tahrima. So the Imam Sahib got it here. Allah, he made his Allah Akbar. He already tied it. His namaz hasn't started. He has to make Allah after the Allah of the Imam. Akbar after the Akbar of the Imam. So the Imam also mustn't pull the takbir too long. So quickly, raise the hands. Allahu Akbar. Tie below the navel. So we got to check where our navel is. Some people now, they're not sure what the navel is, it's tied on the navel, sometimes above the navel. Tied incorrectly, the hands also. So below the navel. Below the navel also, very simply, as we are standing like this, all we got to do is tuck in the hands. Simple. You don't have to actually check where the navel is. As the hands are lowered down, we just tie it up together. Below the navel, left hand tucked inside, the right hand we grasp it, three fingers are spread apart on the upper arm or the wrist, and these two fingers form a ring. And we just tuck it below the navel. And we've got it correctly. This is the sunnah. Wa Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the feet also face towards the qibla, and the body is natural, and the focus in the place of sajda. Hazrat says, one person standing next to me, entire namaz, he says, and also mashallah, he had a pot belly. He says, the way he was standing in namaz, the whole namaz got spoiled. He says, standing there with his palm of his hand hanging down, and whole namaz is tapping away with the drum. He said, whole namaz got spoiled. Some people stand there too, and they're making like this, playing with the fingers. Distracts others in namaz also. Now he doesn't realize now that he's got a habit of playing with fingers. Right, some tapping there, upper arm, some tapping there, belly also. So Hazrat says, be conscious where you are right now. You're standing in salah right now. Then Hazrat says, when he explained to them also, that the hand must be below the navel. So Hazrat mentioned one day also, I was coming out from the masjid, and I saw one Mufti Sahib performing namaz. And his hand was so low below the navel, don't know what he was doing right, putting something right there. So what he was doing, he said, I got a shock. What he's doing? So low now, he's carrying on playing. He says, he's in namaz right now. Now all this is doing, what you forgot out of namaz, remember in namaz now. I had one boiled over here, had eczema over there, now you're going to feel it. The cough I had, whether it's still there or not, so you have one, two trials, whether the cough is still there or not. All this starts in namaz, now you remember. So to keep our concentration. And here Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahimahullah explains so beautifully, just to tie the hands. Just to tie the hands, the importance of tying the hands. He says, right now, when we go and we board the plane, the first thing they tell you is, buckle up. Why are we going high into the skies, 35,000 feet above sea level? There could be turbulence also. Make sure you are buckled up. As long as the light is on, don't remove your seat belts. When now we are smooth, we are flying, then when the captain puts the light off, then you can remove your seat belt. If you're falling asleep, then to put your seat belt on. So they have all the rules and regulations. So Kim Sahib will say, Rahmatullah alayhi, when you're starting your namaz, you're not going to 35,000 feet. You're going to the arsh of Allah. So buckle up properly. Make sure it's tight, that you don't lose your concentration. So for the men below the navel, feet facing towards the qibla, and we made our takbirah tahreema, Allahu Akbar, how we raised our hands, palms facing towards the qibla, we tie our hands, then we start Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik wa tabarak asmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayru, read our thana. Then the imam for the muqtadi, he'll stop there. There's no a'uzu for him, no bismillah for him. Imam will recite a'uzu and bismillah and qirat. He will not say bismillah also the muqtadi. He only say ameen, takbir to go to ruku, subhan rabbi al-azim, subhan rabbi al-a'la. There's no qirat at all for the muqtadi, the one behind the imam. Third and fourth rakat also no qirat for him. Imam recites qirat. He'll read qirat in his own namazes. In the four rakats of his sunnats, every rakat is surah fatiha and surah. Many people don't know this. They think only surah fatiha. When it comes to farz namaz, only first two rakats, surah fatiha and surah. Second two rakats, only surah fatiha is sunnat. There's no surah over there. So he will tie the hands, he will read his qirat, surah fatiha, recite his surah. Also here, not necessary for the imam also, after wala dhalin, to recite bismillah, we can start the surah. He recites already a'udhu bismillah, and continue the after wala dhalin, ameen, and start the surah thereafter. Then to go into ruku, Allahu Akbar. Goes into ruku here also to see. One is, we lock the elbows. Lock the elbows, so it's not like this too. That the whole body is bent like this. But the back has to be leveled out completely straight. With the head also. This, as it tells us also, go home and practice it. You have to practice our namaz. Go, we got a mirror at home, go and practice and see how our back is straight or not. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we just lose it. So we got to refresh in it. Do it again. So check it or ask somebody. Usually in class we tell the boys, get a partner. Get a partner, you check his namaz, he checks your namaz. So we can perfect our namaz together. So the person goes into ruku, then he lock his elbows. Lock the elbows, you push yourself a bit forward. The feet are facing towards the qibla. And the feet also, to get it right, one is now we leave our feet loose this way. You won't get it right. You put your, see the knees is like this. You push it in, inwards. Push the knees inwards, the feet come straight like that. You lock your elbows, and you get your back straight. You feel some tension on the back, some tension on the knees, some tension on the elbows, and on the shoulders a bit. And a bit you push yourself forward. So the head is in line, the back is straight also, this is locked in, it's a complete posture. Now you say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So everything now is locked up. So you got to check, well, some people now they'll get it right. What happens to the head? It goes down. This is not correct. And also here it says, although we are South Africans, but we're not Springboks. You know? First of all, we're going to ruku. And springing is ruku also. Go to sajda there also, he got some springs in his knees. There too he's springing. This is salah, this. Look gracefully, beautifully. So you go down also. Go down, not so slowly also, you go down, gracefully, normal, natural. Go down, lock it in. Take the time, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, one breath. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. There's a ha there, there's a ayn there, za, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Not one breath, three tasbihat. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana. Now, translate that into English, and say that in English three times at that speed. We can try it inshallah in your own time. See whether you can see it. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Translate in English and say that in English at that speed. Also the Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim, Al-Gimidin, Gawrid al-Sunnah. Translate that into English and in English say it at that speed and see how it sounds. That's how we reading for Allah. Allah just accept it. No, take pride. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. So we make the ruku. So everything is in line. The head is, and also the head not too much up like that also. Where we look, the eyes is focused now upon our the feet. And so you don't have to do that, you don't have to do that. You see the head is in line with the back, and also it's so much the head and the back is in line to the extent they say you can put a glass of water on the back of the person, it won't spill. Different thing is hunched, or you got some back problem. But as I mentioned now, some people see the Shaykh is performing ruku, now he goes down slowly like that, and he's got a back, so he too goes like that, he stops over there. The Shaykh has gone old now. They said the Sunnah, you see what is the Sunnah. What he's telling you to do. So in that way now you'll do it, you'll make your ruku. When you finish your ruku, minimum three times Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, you can read more, very good, Alhamdulillah. So, and also very importantly, don't make tasbihat in salah so loudly disturb somebody. Your salah becomes makruh. Now you say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana. You're whispering loudly. Whisper is supposed to be soft. So you're whispering loudly, disturbing the musallis on either side. Some people are old now. Now they can't hear themselves, so sometimes they read loudly. Now I don't blame them, let's get the earpiece, so you can hear himself. But sometimes he's loud, so we can understand that he's an old person. But a young man now, making noises in namaz, sometimes he's loud, disturbing next musalli, his salah becomes makruh. So coming up from there, we finish our ruku. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ سَمِعَ وَدَعَيْنِ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ Not لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ Some imams also, some people, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ It's حَمِدَهُ Actually, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ So that who then becomes ha, حَمِدَهُ So, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ The imam would read. The muqtadi, as imam is saying, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ And you are coming up. From here already you start, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ This we learn from our Shaykh al-Hadith. Commonly what we do, after we stand up, we wait for the Imam to finish. He'll make tasmi', you'll make tahmeed. This is the share of the Imam and the Muqtadi. Imam's share is, he makes tasmi', سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ With the Muqtadi, he says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ So as he's coming up, he says, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ Now you got time to say, حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ Imam, he can read also the extra du'as. As long as now in coma, as you're standing, all our limbs and joints come to their natural position. Not that you come just halfway and straight down again. No, take your time. For the imam, it's not too long also. Some people don't have the habit. Imam now will sometimes read long dua and you find the musalli now already waiting halfway down. Imam is still taking time. Especially now, like some places we've been to, some imams are there 20 years, 30 years making imamat. So the local musallis are used to his tartib of namaz, his speed. Now the new young imam will come. So they used already to the old imam sahab. The imam sahab now is pulling it long a little bit, his du'as. So they used to, the old imam, they're already waiting halfway down. This imam is still reading his du'as, so he must educate these people. They are du'as to be read, but we don't pull it too long. Accordingly, the musallis also, they are comfortable with the namaz, not too fast. Some people are old. How they take time to come up, they already gone down. So moderation. So we have these du'as, as he's coming up, Sami Allahu liman hamida, then he'll read Rabbana walakal hamd, read it properly, nice, no rush. It is time enough, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Now to go down into sajda. Going down into sajda also for the Hanafis, how to make the sajda. Shafi'is, they do it different. Like how the hadith Sharif mentions, they do it like how a camel sits down. If you saw a camel sitting, right, he has a front, first the front legs go down, then the back legs, then the quite a few joints it has now. So they make sajda more or less. Like the Hanafis, we go now straight down. So as we come up, we're standing, we look at the place of sajda. Rabbana lakal hamd, Rabbana walakal hamd, Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. All these come in riwayat. So we can say Rabbana walakal hamd, Rabbana lakal hamd, Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. All these are correct. Then the other masnoon du'as that we can read also in qoma and jalsa. Then from here you go down. Then from here you start your takbir. Allah. As far as possible, the back straight. The back straight as possible, as comfortable as you can be. We don't go now like this commonly. If you're standing, brothers can see. I'll just move this here. So what happens now, especially for young people, like ourselves now, we got no back problem, so we don't have any impediments, so we can go down. What happens now, because we haven't learned, so we go down like this. So this Allama Shami Rahimullah says, that as you, if you go down like this, this can constitute and count as a second ruku. That you're making a second ruku, and then you fall into sajda. So you want ruku in a rakat. So to save yourself from that, and some people they go hands first. They just now drop down like that. This is the Hanafi mazhab. Hanafi mazhab is you go with your back straight as possible going down. If you have a back problem, it's different. So from here now, he will go down. Go down and the hands on the thighs, grasping the knees if you have to, then you go down. Here also, as I said, as I mentioned now, we are not springboks. Person goes down and I springing over here. It's graceful, he goes, it's a one movement. So he comes down to here, then the knees first. Knees will go onto the ground first. Knees on the ground first, then the hands. How to position the hands? More or less where I raise my hands to takbirat tahrima. This way the hands will go there. In line with my ears and my head. So the hands will go down there. And here, when it comes to ruku also, there ruku, if we don't point there, any brothers need to mention just to remind me, they can remind me inshallah. Ruku, to grasp the knees. Not to leave it loose like this. Many brothers will go into ruku and they leave their fingers loose. It's to grasp the knees. Not leaving it loose. So you got everything locked in and you grasp it also. Not like this too. When you got it, you grab it. So all the fingers apart and your palms more or less start from above your knee. So you got it grasped. You push yourself a bit forward. So you can feel the tension in all of this. Now you got it locked in, your entire ruku. Then you come up. So when you're going down in sajda, there's the only place in salah where this dhammul asabi', where the fingers are close together. Only in sajda. This is where many people, they don't get it right. And these are mustahabbat, sunnats. We take it to be something not so serious. Hazrat even taught us this also. He said he was a sheikh, big sheikh also, very famous sheikh. So a certain person heard about the sheikh. I would take bed. Putting bi'at to him. So the person traveled long distance. He came to the Khanka just after chas time, Salatul Duha. So he came to the Khanka, entered there. There was a garden there. There was a spot now, sandy spot. So he met somebody there. This was a khadim of the Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum. Where are you from? I come so and so place. I come to bi'at to the Sheikh. He said, oh, he was here just now. He just left now. Acha, what he was doing here? He was reading Salatul Duha, Chas Namaz, very particular about the Chas Namaz, everything. And the best and closest to Sunnah is to read Salah on sand. Like Masjid al-Nabi originally was sand. little pebbles and all they also. That is the original, that is the best mention in kitabs also. First is al-ard, the bare ground, then al-hasir, that is now chatai, straw mat. Then you get the rest of it. Now the ummah is gone to memory foam, but they forget how many rakats. Memory foam is so comfortable, they forget how many rakats we read. So it's causing an effect on the memory also. So memory foam not permissible. When it's so thick now that you can't feel the hardness of the ground in sajda, then your sajda is not established, salah is not valid. So memory foam, you take it out. Namaz is comfortable. Even for the Imam Musalla to be too thick also and too soft, that you still got place to play with your head, forehead in salah, in sajda, that you can't feel the hardness of the carpet of the ground, then that salah will not be valid. So the carpet must be too thick also, Musalla must be so thick also. It's comfortable enough, they can feel the hardness. There's no room for you to go more down. So, he said, the Shaykh was here just now. He said, what he was doing here? Doing namaz. Oh, on the sand. What a Shaykh, mashallah. Goes back to the original sunnah. So what namaz is reading, Salat al-Duha, is very particular. So he looked at the sand, he saw the imprint of the fingers of the Shaykh in sajda, and the fingers were apart. He said, he was reading namaz here with his fingers apart. He says, yes. He said, he can't be a Shaykh Kamil. If in sajda his fingers aren't apart, I won't take bet to him. And he went to him. On that one point only. If his salah can't be according to sunnah, then even the fingers weren't put together right, how can he be a Shaykh Kamil? Brother says, we're trying our best, to the best of our ability, to get all the sunnah mustahabbat in our life. Because we're doing this in kitab, we're learning it. So the knees first. The knees first. Then we put our hands. How we make takbir at-tahrima, the fingers facing towards the Qibla, all the fingers. Once I asked Abdullah, how many fingers you have? He said, I got 8 fingers. I said, oh. I said, 8 fingers? See, I got 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. He said, oh, so he said, 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. I said, thumbs also are fingers. Years ago now. So we got 10 fingers altogether. So all 10 must face. Why I'm saying this? Some people face only 8. There's 2 thumbs are left like that. Like this part of the fingers. Oh, they got this here, but the small finger will go that way. All the fingers put together and check ourselves and get somebody to check my namaz also. I mean, my fingers all together. So the fingers are facing towards the Qibla. Why this is so important? In Tabaqat Ibn Sa'ad, is mentioned Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was very particular in Salah, and he regarded Mustahab that as far as possible, wherever you can in Salah, for all your limbs to face towards the Qibla. We're connecting to Baytullah and we're taking energy from there. Now when you speak about energy and aura, and what they speak about self-healing, and they have different types, Reiki. People know what is Reiki now, right? Where they focus the energy of the body back into the body for self-healing. Because the body has energies. Others say the source of energy is Baytullah. All energy is coming from there. And what kind of energy to is coming? Noor of Allah. Allah's Tajalli is coming. And how you going to get it through Salah? That's why I'm connecting to Baytullah now. When I'm standing also, my feet towards the Qibla, fingers towards the Qibla, as far as possible, everything is connected to Baytullah. I'm taking from the Noor of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So the finger facing towards the Qibla, then you put the nose first down, and then the forehead. The nose, then the forehead, and the hands apart. In Fard Salah, then we keep the hands close together. Brothers can see. So we don't knock into the next person. But here, very importantly, the upper arm and the elbows are off the ground. Not on the ground like how a dog sits. This is makruh. To have the hands flush on the ground, this is makruh. The hands are lifted up. That's in your Fard Salah, somebody next to you. In your individual Salah, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to open up. He is to open up his arms, fingers facing towards the Qibla. He opens it so much that they say a kid could cross through in between his thighs and his body. What's a kid? Not a small child now. All we call him a kid. A little goat. So the goat could fit through there. This also, we don't go to extreme. Now you open so much that you don't look right also. So moderation in everything. Moderation. Because commonly we find that people, the sajda is not right. Even a person may be a bit, mashallah, and hefty, then they close it up like this. There's no space over here. Brothers can see. And for their namaz is worse. Fajr namaz is worse because they're tired. So what they'll do, then the kitab says like how ladies make sajda. Ladies sajda is that the belly actually takes support upon the thighs. So the men also, they'll do that, And the hands also, they make it like this. You see my elbows? Elbows is on the thigh. And like this. And before he knows it, he's sleeping already. He's going into muraqabah. Wuzu will break. Wuzu will break. He sleeps away like that, wuzu will break. Even if you fall asleep and all of a sudden you see a dream also, now you're gone. Then you realize, yeah, I mean, namaz, Imam Sahib make takbir. So if possible, your wuzu can break because that is sunnat. This is not a sunnat sajda. If you fall asleep in a sunnat sajda, wuzu will not break. Because if you make sajda according to sunnah and you fall asleep, you'll topple to the side. Because salah is like, so to say, an exercise that has to be done in a certain way. That keeps you awake. There's no place to sleep. If you fall asleep, you lose something. So here also, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam used to open up himself. So like this, for example. He used to go down, the hands in line with the head, not too front, not too back. Some people put the hands over here. There's two back. He's in line with the head. And then he used to open up. Brothers can see it. So a little bit front, comfortable enough. And also not the back is like this. But you're pushing forward a bit. So the nose first, the forehead, the hands facing towards the Qibla, and then he will open up his arms. He will open up his arms, and you can feel a little bit strain on the back also, and the shoulder blades are almost touching. And then he says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So that is, now that type of sajda, you can't fall asleep. You fall asleep in that sajda, what will happen? Your hands will just drop, and you might topple over. And when you topple over and you wake up same time, then your wuzu is still intact. The only time the wuzu will break is when you topple over and your lights out. You are lights out. Meaning now you're sleeping. Not this load shedding. You fell asleep, you didn't wake up. Now his wuzu is broken. Now he's going to go and repeat his wudu. Sitting on the chair also, you've got to be careful there, falling asleep. So different masla only comes with the chair now. So this is a sunnah way to make the sajda. So both the nose and the forehead, both touching the ground. When you're coming up now, when you come up, first will be the forehead, then the nose. Not the nose first, and then you push yourself up. First you will lift up the forehead and then the nose. And a person will come up. Then sitting in jalsa and tashahud, the method to sit, which are very importantly also in sajda, is for the feet. Very importantly, the feet in sajda is very important. If the feet come off the ground, salah will become invalid. The detail, we can ask the Muftiyan, one foot, both the feet, what duration. The best is don't lift the feet at all. But this will become very negligent. We're very unmindful. Sometimes we're playing with the feet. Oh, we just got the feet anyhow. Or we got it off the ground also. Salah is invalid, it's broken. Imams will be very careful. One Mufti of Gujarat also gave the fatwa that even coming up from the sajda also, you should ensure that the feet don't lift off the ground. Even one foot. Or going down, because now you gotta move your feet. He said, they should drag it together. When you're going down also, drag it together. Don't lift it off the ground. Be very careful. So sitting also, when you're in sajda, then the correct method for the feet will be, it is grounded. So you're actually pushing yourself. So as many toes you can get, whether you put the heels together or not together, is apart. Right? Our Honorable Ustaz Mufti Mutara Sahib will prefer that the feet are apart. Our Shaykh also prefer the feet apart. So the feet apart, the toes are facing towards the Qibla. What happens commonly, we just do this. There's the big toe, or sometimes the foot is off the ground, or one foot on top of the other foot, or we're playing with the feet. So all this now will possibly break the salah. Salah will be invalid. So from here also, now we're coming to the jalsa position. Here should be careful, we don't do this. See the left foot? Left foot came up. So try not to do that. Just drag the foot. So from here we're coming up. Just drag it like that. So, now as I mentioned, we can touch, but not necessarily. We prefer now that it's left apart. So when you're coming up from there, so both the toes of both the feet are grounded, facing towards the Qibla. You push forward a little bit, the arms are opened up. You can feel the strain on the back a bit. Now you come up, Allahu Akbar. You just drag the foot. Sitting down also, the hadith, the kitab says, Nasaba rijlahul yumna. That he must keep the right foot absolutely erect. Not like this. Brothers can see, right? This is not correct. This is not what is demanded. The foot is like this. Or the foot is like this. This way. It has to be absolutely upright. If you're not doing it, try it now and you see how difficult it is because you're not used to it. So it has to be flexible. So this is absolutely straight to the best of you. If you have some now problem with the foot, etc., then we can understand it. But it has to be practiced. So the foot is upright and the left foot. The left foot, the toes, is here. So this can see it. So the left toes are touching the right foot. So these toes are facing the Qibla and these toes are facing the Qibla. Then you'll find that type of sitting, you're not used to it, you say, hey, it's paining now, because you're not doing it right. So as fast as possible, you sit like this. Yeah, how it is like this? Must be vertical. Alright? So like this you face. If you don't do it like this, then you'll find commonly how we sit like this. You go to one side, or go to the other side. But if it's done like this, then you're sitting upright. Why upright? As it says also, you're sitting before the King of Kings right now. You don't slump. You see, the way you sit in front of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, like how you sit in front of your Shaykh and Ustaz, I'm ready for khidmat. I'm ready to move. You're awake. Not that you just sit like that. They say, Bishara, how is doing namaz like this now? Yes, tide is different. So you sit like this now, everything is like locked in, and it's not so comfortable. Unless you get used to it. But it's all now, you're exercising all your body parts indirectly. It's happening. So the toes are joined over there. These toes are facing towards the Qibla, the foot is up. And you are facing towards the Qibla, you come into Jalsa. Allahumma ghfirli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzuqni. This dua can be read between the two sajda. So in this way you will sit. And also, if you're in tashahud now, sitting in tashahud, then how to place the hands? Where to place the hands, how to place the hands. So we're sitting like this, with the feet facing towards the Qibla, the toes facing towards the Qibla. And here also, there are two riwayats. One riwayat is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made a luqma, he made a morsel of his left knee or his left hand. Meaning he did it like this. How you make a luqma? But there's one riwayat. Other riwayats say, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to place his hands on his thighs. So the thighs now, whether they begin or they end, where the knee starts. So to join all these different narrations, so our Mufti Sahib will tell us that we try to join the narrations as far as possible. So the palms will remain on the thigh. And the fingers will just overlap the knees. The fingers will just overlap, not like this too. They just overlap it a bit. When they two, the fingers are in the direction of the Qibla. So in the direction of the Qibla. Sitting also, as I mentioned now, one of us is like this. How you sit chokanna, you're alert. You're reading tahiyyat. And to show Allah Tabarak, Allah, I'm ready, labbaik. Allah, I'm ready to obey you. I'm ready to obey you. How you sit in front of your Shaykh, in front of your Ustaz, that you're ready for work. So in this way, in Salah also, we are ready. We're ready to march for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. This is how you will sit. So, depends on your back, your posture also. Then the hands will be just placed on the, as I mentioned, the thighs, the palms, and the fingers, not like this also, just left to the side, or like this, lazily. Brothers can see by that the fingers are left inside like that, or they left like this. But on the thigh, direction towards the Qibla, just overlapping the knee a bit. Then we recite our At-Tahiyyat. At-Tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. We can stop there. If we carry on, وَطَيِّبَاتُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ, then we join it. التَّعِيَاتُ لِلَّهِ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَطَيِّبَاتُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ. Now we're in the maktab, the type of chorus style, ضروري مسلمين. التَّعِيَاتُ لِلَّهِ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَطَيِّبَاتُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ. That's how we learned it before. Is that التَّعِيَاتُ? التَّحِيَّاتُ. التَّحِيَّاتُ, all verbal ibadat. التَّحِيَّاتُ لِلَّهِ, for Allah تبارك وتعالى. وَالصَّلَوَاتُ, all physical ibadat. Then والطيبات, all monetary ibadat, all belongs to Allah. It is all for you. Whether it be oral, verbal, physical, financial, all this ibadat is for Allah. So beautiful at-tahiyyat, understand the translation I made now. So at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So you say, At-Tahiyyat, Ya Allah, all verbal, oral ibadat is only for you. My zikr, my speech is for you. So return for that, Allah Ta'ala will say, As-Salaamu Alaika, my peace with you. My peace with you. Then, Was-Salawatu, all my physical ibadat, Ya Allah, is only for you. Reply from Allah, Wa Rahmatullah. Allah's rahmat with you. Because your body is in Allah's ibadat. Wa-Tayyibat, all my monetary ibadat I spend for Allah, Allah's reply to you is, Wa barakatu, I'll give you barakat. At-Tahiyyat is such a potent dua also. To read it correctly. As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ashhadu Allah. So the fingers are there. When you come to Allah, then we ask for Shaykh al-Hadith. Now, at which time do you raise the finger? And you make a ring. You make a ring with two fingers. With your middle finger and your thumb. Not with these three. Many people, they do this. So they're making a ring with all three. And the thumb. These two are locked in. It's only these two here. So the last two fingers are inside. The middle finger and the thumb, you make your ring. So he says, first you make your ring. So as you ashhadu al, when you come to Allah, Allah, then you, if you can see my hand, Allah, then you make your ring. Allah ilaha illallah. Allah ilaha illallah. Illallah, you drop it. How much you raise it also? He asks. He says, just is it enough to face the Qibla? Not too high, not too low. So we just do this. We just do that. Is it a bit now? We face it towards the Qibla. Because this At-Tahiyyat, you see, Ashaddu ala shaitan min al-hadid, is most severe upon shaitan than steel and iron. He can't take it. He's making ishara towards, is indicated was the oneness of Allah Tabarak, like as if you're firing a cannon. You're firing cannon at him. So he can't take it. It's too heavy for him. Indicated was the Tawheed, oneness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So he raised a finger just towards the Qibla, sufficient. And Allah ilaha, za Allah ilaha illallah. Then you drop it. How much you drop it also? Not right down. Just this, a bit suspended. A bit suspended. Some people don't even do this. They just leave the hands like that again. So you close it up. Two fingers, make your ring, and just drop it down a bit. So you leave it like that. And just there at the edge of your thigh, where the knee starts. That's a different mazhab that. The Maliki mazhab, etc. But they continue moving their finger, because to them it constitutes that you are warding off shaitan. Warding off shaitan. So don't take offense. Is that doing it for you now? Is that warding you off? Is warding of shaitan. So we put it down, we hold it there. And then we read our durood, Allahumma salli, not Allahumma salli, Allahumma salli, the sod. Together correct also. Our wording, our makharij huruf is correct. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadi wa ala Ali Muhammadin, kama sallita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadi wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. This is your final qada. Sitting, if you're not going to sit in qada, it's your second rakat, you're going up, not to stand up. So as you come up from the sajda, as you mentioned, there will be the forehead first, then will be your nose, then the hands. So the hands, put it back here, as you came down. If from here, ala suduri qadamihi, you will get up, nahada ala suduri qadamihi, he will stand upright on the balls of his feet, so to say. So you come up one way movement. And here to keep the back to as straight as possible. We're not so much of strain now that you can fall over or fall front. So it's graceful. Salah is something of beauty. So as he gets up now, there also there's no, but he stops here. Unless now is old weakness, then he can stop here. But the kitab says he comes up, it's one movement. So from the bottom, from here you start your takbir, Allahu Akbar. Back up again. Then you tie the hands. As we mentioned, the hands are down naturally. All you got to do is tie it. Lock it up. Then you start the qirat again. So this is basically the namaz, the shahud, you did already, sitting down. And when it comes to the salam. The salam also, what we learn, is that we're making salam to the malaika, on the right and on the left. Niyat there also, if you're the imam, then you make niyat for the musalli is on my right because you're addressing somebody. Assalamu alaikum. Allah's peace be with you. So you're addressing the malaika and also the malaika, you're addressing the muqtadis that are there behind you to the right hand side, making salam to them and to the malaika that are here and the pious jinnah that have come for namaz also. You make that intention. So you turn the head. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Some say you start from here. Preferable, you're making salam to the people on the right. So you turn the head and you make the salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Where you look? Look on your shoulder. You don't look now who came late, who is behind you. Some people have that habit, they move the whole body. A person late again. So is that your business there? You make his mulaqat later now. Now is the time you're addressing the angels on your shoulder, the musallis. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bring your head back to the center and then Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So salam to correct. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So Imam Sahib will make niyat on both sides. All the muqtadis to the right, malaika ade, jinnat ade, to the left hand side also. This niyat we have to make effectively. This is sunnah also. For the muqtadi behind the Imam, the follower of the Imam behind you, sitting right behind the Imam, then you'll make intention in salam. I'm making salam to the Imam in front of me, and I'm making salam to all the muqtadis to my right hand side. And then malaika are there, the jinnat are there. Then the salam to the left, again Imam Sahib, I'm right behind him. And then to the angels, the angel that is here, other angels that are there, and also the musallis and the pious jinnat. If you are sitting now to the right of the Imam, then when you're making salam to the right, you make niyat of the musallis and the angels. And on the left salam, then you'll include the Imam, which is to my left hand side. And accordingly, if you're on the left hand side of the Imam, then in your salam to the right, the first salam you include the Imam. Second salam you will not include him. So these are all sunnahs. Hazrat asks us also, right now we read Zuhar Namaz, who made the intention? Mustn't be, as we say now, comes to these things, we are brain dead. I forgot. But he said when he comes to lunch, even halfway through the biryani, he didn't bring the mittu. It was a sweet dish. That we won't forget. Even if we finished also, what happened? Nobody brought the mittu. He said, then I will remember. But these sunnahs we forgot already. So quickly you forgot about it. But the food you won't forget. I don't talk about the Coke. We don't know in the Coke story. So, say remember these things. To make these intentions, make namaz, and make it a habit. Why? This is a practice. Hazrat says to make salam. We address the angel on the right, angel on the left. What is happening now? We're reminding ourselves the unseen. We're making salam. They are there right now. We're reminding ourselves. The angels are here. They are recording. In this way, you... 5 times a day, all the namaz you're reading, we're tapping into the unseen. Malaika are here, they're recording. So you'll forget. You'll forget they're sitting here also, they're recording everything. Like one person, he didn't want to believe the alim that, you know, they're recording, where they're recording? Angels sitting here, where they got space to sit here? Where they record? I don't hear anything also. He said, no, they are there. So Allah Ta'ala opened the unseen to him. And he sees the two angels sitting there recording. So he told that, he asked the angel, what are you doing? So he wrote there, what are you doing? He said, I'm talking to you. So he wrote there, I'm talking to you. He said, can't you reply? Then he realized he got one task only, he's recording. Everything I'm saying is recording. Even I asked him that, he's recording that also. Ma yalfizu min qawlin. Whatever you make talaffuz, whatever you utter, he's recording. You got no other job. Then he realized the ahadeh. Everything is being recorded right now. So how to become conscious of that? So when we make the salam, then we realize the malaika ahadeh. So we make our salam, then the du'as to be read after far salah, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam. The gaze in tashahud, you look at your lap. You look at your lap, not at your fingers. Yes, when you're making your tashahud, then you can look at your finger, but your gaze is upon your lap. Not that your head is right down also. But as I mentioned, you are a bit alert. A bit alert, this your gaze is a bit down, not at the carpet, also not front, but you're looking at your lap. Alright, and when it comes to sajda, you look at the tip of your nose. You don't close your eyes. And you do put your hands so close also, that everything is dark. So you look at the tip of your nose. In sajda, in qoma, when you're standing up, the place of sajda, in ruku, you look at your feet. Drag of the fingers also. That too also people are going into sajda, and they drag their fingers. That's not correct that. Now, if the original, if there was sand over there, you can imagine, you create a dust storm just now. And when they're coming up also, then they drag their fingers. That's not correct. You've got to lift your hands. Lift your hands up the ground. Place your hand on the ground. This is all practice now. To be conscious. You're conscious in salah. This is spill over into your domestic life. You're conscious of Allah. Because namaz also you are conscious right now. How you tying your hand. How you going down. How you lifting your hand. So all these are important that you become particular about it. Dima. In? Sajda. Dima, explain to us. What Shaykh Sahib has written there? Will be straight. The thighs must be straight. Leaning forward. That's why we say when you go into sajda, he says that now you go so forward. The thighs now become like this. But it's just straight enough. So not like this also, and not too much front. But the thighs are also straight. And the body goes down like that, and you push yourself forward. That's why when your feet are grounded, then you feel the pressure a bit. So not too much also, when you look up at order. So just in between, moderate enough. Yeah, Ji, we mentioned towards that grounded, facing towards the Qibla. Doesn't matter really. Doesn't matter. When it's for. Yeah. No, the Imam started making salam, you stop immediately. If you finish your at-ta'iyat, which is wajib, and Imam Sahib makes salam, then you must make your salam. You must make your... Acha, salam with the Imam was very important. Yeah, major part of the Ummah doesn't make salam correctly. Major part of the Ummah to make salam, they make salam after the Imam. Every rukun of salah has to be done with the Imam. إِذَا كَبَّرَ الْإِمَامُ فَكَبِّرُوا وَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَارْكَعُوا وَإِذَا سَجَدَ فَاسْجُدُوا Nabi Alayhi Salaam mentioned the Imam make takbir with him. When he makes ruku, make ruku with him. When he make sajda with him. So you must be sharik with the Imam, a partner with the Imam. Make partner with him for zaman. For ada, not possible. To be a sharik for ada, as he's doing it exactly, that's possible. But within that time frame, you can follow him. So as he goes into ruku, you move with him. You go to sajda, you move with him. When he's making salam also, what happens, the Imam also makes salam, he's still sitting like this. He's already finished his salam. Now he makes salam. This is incorrect. He makes salam with the Imam. What does it mean? Before the Imam can reach the meme of as-salamu, you start your salam already. Now what happens, the Imam says, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Now you start your salam. Casual. No, you with the Imam. That's why you got to be awake in namaz. It's a whole exercise of being awake. In your whole life now, you're ready for Allah's command. So the Imam says, As-salamu alaykum. Before you can reach the meme of As-salamu, you start your salam already. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. But not before him. The second salam already now, you're moving with him. He started his salam already, you start your salam. Before he reaches the meme, you're already starting your As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So that salam is the correct salam. When you're with the Imam sir. In Maktab we learned that time dua for at the end of salah, Allahumma ghfirli wa li walidayya wa li mu'minina. What had wa li yusadiyya wa li jami'i al-mu'minina wa al-mu'minat. Instead of sunnah dua. We just translated the dua also. We had to be a sunnah dua. Ya Allah, forgive me. Forgive my parents. Forgive my ustaz. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi made dua for Jibreel Amin. He was no gunas. It was his ustaz there. So li walidayya wa li yusadiyya wa li jami'i al-mu'minina. That we learn in Maktab. He said the Sunnah Dua. Sunnah Dua is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif also. Allahum inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant faghfir li maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. There are the duas also mentioned in the riwayat. This is a common dua to be read. So we learn this dua for the end of salah. This dua is also there that we learn this dua for the end of salah inshallah. Then don't forget about dua qunut. That we learn correctly dua qunut for witr salah. Because that's wajib also. Witr salah is wajib, this dua is sunnat. To recite the dua that we usually read, the dua of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, this is sunnat to read it.